I assume that clapping is for me and my hula hoop. Got some props today. It's exciting for us. Like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Welcome to Park Street Brethren Church. My name is Nate. We're going to have fun this morning. We're glad you're with us. We're desperate that our prayer this morning as we gather is that our one goal, our one focus is the name of Jesus. And that's part of what this series on simplicity is recognizing what's important in this life and getting rid of all the other things that are maybe distracting. And so this is our second week of a series that we're simply calling Less. We talked about buying or having less stuff last week. This week we're talking about less busyness. And perhaps as a penitence for preaching on less stuff last Sunday, I was informed at 9:30 p.m. on Sunday night from my wife that we needed groceries, and it couldn't wait. And so I found myself at 9:30 p.m. last Sunday, having given this wonderful message on less stuff, roaming the aisles of Walmart, just ridiculously frustrated that I had to be there and that we ran out of milk and all the things that had conspired to put me there. And I was doing my thing. I was getting this, I was trying to make this as short as a trip as possible. But you know the deal when you go there that if there are 100 people in the store, they have two lanes open. And so I found myself waiting at the checkout line for ages to get through, to get my groceries checked and then to go home. And it was interesting because as I'm there, I'm noticing all around me, you know, these wonderful magazines, the candy bars that are explicitly put there for me because I have no willpower to say no to that. And there was a family in front of me that was also getting groceries. And their cart was full of junk food. It was full of, you know, those boxes of Little Debbie cakes. They had about 8 of them. They had potato chips. They had soda. And I looked at my cart, which was full of stuff that my wife had sent me to get, spinach, broccoli, and I looked at my cart, and I looked at their cart, and I couldn't help but thinking, lucky. You know, just like, some people really just get to have all the fun. But the thing that caught my attention most in their cart was an item they rang up near the end, and it was a package of weight loss shakes. And obviously there's no judgment from me from them getting a bunch of junk food. I wish that I could, but my wife goes through the bags when I get home and she finds these things. So I wish that I could, but it was the weight loss shakes that threw me off. It was like, what are we doing here, right? Like, if we got the potato chips and the Little Debbie, just skip the weight loss shakes, right? Like, we don't need those, or maybe it's some kind of an effect. And I was thinking about that this week. All throughout the week, because I was thinking about sometimes we take just these moments on Sunday mornings for stillness, but the rest of our week is full of junk, right? Like, what's the purpose of getting still in this time if we're going to clutter the rest of our times with things that are not good for us? So as we move forward, my desperate prayer for all of us is that these are not words to simply receive and say, oh, those are good, and then go back to our Little Debbie snack cake lifestyle, right? But rather something to allow the Holy Spirit to come in with a sweet sense of conviction to say, maybe instead of cluttering 6 days of the week in order to have one free day, maybe the Lord is inviting us to start doing less on purpose so that we can experience more of his goodness, right? So our scriptures this morning, we've got three again. Two are from the Gospels and one is from Psalms. So the first part that we're going to be in is from Luke chapter 10. So you can maybe put a finger in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. It's a very familiar passage. Then we're going to slide on over to Mark chapter 6. We're just going to be in two verses in Mark. It's verses 30 to 31. And then we're going to be in Psalm 16, verses 5 through 11. As always, the verses will be on the screen behind me. I'm going to read these in rapid succession, just like we did last week before we begin. So here is God's word for his people this morning, starting in the Gospel of Luke and moving on from there. Verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Then in Mark chapter 6, in verses 30 to 31, it says that the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And then in Psalm 16, verses 5 to 11, the scriptures say, "Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Let's pray this morning. Jesus, may you be the center. May you be our focus. May you be our point of rotation. May you be our orbiting point this morning. May your spirit invade this place and give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, hearts that would understand you, minds that would grow in a knowledge that leads to a deeper trust and a deeper love of you. Lord, we pray that this morning would be marked by a special outpouring of your nearness and your trust and your love. We love you, Jesus, and we pray all of this in God's name. And people said, amen. In the Disney Pixar movie Ratatouille, the unlikely events of a rat who has a passion for cooking unfold. His name is Remy, and unlike the rest of his family, he likes to savor the flavor of food. He likes to cultivate, to put together different creations, and to experience these moments. You know, it's kind of this sublime thing that he's pairing these different flavors. And so his family doesn't get it. And in one scene, he's got a bigger brother. He's an overweight rat named Emil. And he's trying to explain to Emil, he's trying to give him a window into this world that he's experiencing of flavor and taste and all these things that are combining. And he gives Emil a grape and cheese, and he wants them to try them together, that they complement each other, that these flavors balance. And of course, Emil, the fat rat, just shoves them in his mouth, right? And this line that Remy says in response is one of my favorite lines. He says, "Don't just hork it down." I like that language of horking it down. Because it's better to me than saying wolfing something down, right? I think that is a pejorative use of the word wolf. My wife will sometimes say that of me, that I'm wolfing down my food. I'm like, can we pick another word, really? Let's not offend the wolves by saying that that's what I'm doing with my food. So we're horking it down, and I relate to Emil. I am a fast eater. Anybody else that just like, you know, I sometimes unhinge my jaw and I just go for it, you know? And this has become a problem in the last couple years because I think I've had this like condition. This is self-diagnosed, but it's probably true. I'm not a doctor, but what do they know, right? That my esophagus is shrinking. right? And I've come to this conclusion because a couple times I've been eating and I've swallowed something and it got stuck in my throat. Not stuck that I can't breathe, like my airway is okay, but like it's lodged there and I'm having a hard time doing something about it. And this happens to me probably once a week or so. And I'm just like, and I got to work it down, right? And I like drink some water and I like focus and like it passes and everything is good. And every time this happened, my wife is like, it's because you wolfed it down again, isn't it? And I'm like, I have a condition, okay? It's not that. I have a condition, okay? And so I started going online and researching, and there's a procedure you can have to fix this, right? And they basically put a long balloon down your esophagus, and they fill it up with air, and it stretches out your esophagus. And then you have to eat like applesauce for the next 2 or 3 weeks because it really is painful. And so after I learned about the procedure for this condition, I had this epiphany. I think I'm just going to take smaller bites. Once I realized how invasive the solution to my condition was, I applied Occam's razor. The simpler of the two solutions is the best answer. And I said, maybe I'll just like stop trying to cram less in my mouth all at once. That seems like a better solution. And the interesting thing is we've been studying this week about busyness. Why are we so busy? Is that the first thought that we have is probably it's because there's just not enough time in the day. There's just time that's just not enough. I just have so many things to do and so little time. This is the reason I'm busy. This is the reason I'm always frenetic running around. And actually, what's going on here is that time is not the issue. It's that you're trying to cram too much in the time, right? And as we've been talking about busyness, there's this recognition that the key of all of this is that the fact that you're busy has nothing to do with time. Busyness has everything to do with desire, right? And wanting and wanting and wanting. So we turn to our familiar text with Mary and Martha. We've heard this story. We've been in this scripture before, right? Where old Martha, old worrywart Martha, she's running around very busy, and then Mary's doing the heavenly things. She's just sitting with hands folded at the feet of the Lord. And that's very nice, but everyone who knows that the things need to get done kind of relate to Martha a little bit, right? Like Mary's not pitching in. She's not helping. Who's going to provide the meal? Martha is being faithful, is she not? But then the realization that it is all about desire comes forth when Martha speaks to Jesus and says, Lord, don't you see that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help. Martha not only wants things to be done and ready, Martha wants the recognition that she did the things. You know what I'm saying? Martha wants recognized. That's what's going on here. It's not that somebody had to make the food, that's true, but Martha wanted recognized. And the great irony in the Martha and Mary struggle is Jesus basically says this, look, you want me to recognize what you've done for me. Mary's the one recognizing that God is in her midst, and I'm not going to take that from her. How much of our busy lives are wrapped up in the idea that I want God to recognize what I'm doing for him. Hello, Jesus, you see me praying faithfully here? You see me serving these people without thanks, right? And maybe the invitation for us this morning is a little less that God ought to recognize us, but maybe we ought to recognize him when he has joined us in our living room with his presence. Once a week, my communal discernment team gets together and we walk through these issues. And when we start talking about this issue of busyness, it's kind of hit all of us like a ton of bricks. Every time, every season in our lives, for everyone there, that we felt we were overwhelmed with busyness, we found that we got ourselves into that predicament because we were wanting recognition. We were saying yes to stuff that we shouldn't have said, why did we say yes to it? Well, I wanted the accolade for that thing. I wanted recognized for being a part of that committee. I wanted to contribute to that thing and for people to see me using my gifts, right? And this desire to be recognized was actually the thing that started squeezing out all the other important things in our lives. We felt overwhelmed. We felt so busy. As you know, I was a pastor with college students for a long time. College students are infamous for feeling busy all the time, right? And it was always my my job as an adult to explain to them that they were not busy, all right? They felt very busy, but they were not, right? And so I had two strategies on how to do this. The first was a college student would come in and they would say how busy they were and how overwhelmed they were. And so strategy A was, let's sit down together and put every single thing you have going on in a calendar, right? And so we'd get out like our Google Calendar and we'd just plot every single thing in. And by the end of the day, you'd find out, oh, you have 6 hours of responsibility every day. Cry me a river, right? It's like, I am so busy. I've got class and I've got things. And you put it all on a list and it's like, yeah, that's like 5 to 6 hours of work. That's what you're responsible for. Everything else that you're doing is stuff that you've just chosen to add, and that's okay. But you've just cluttered your schedule with all these other things. So normally that would work. Normally I would go through and it would be this revelation. Maybe I'm not as busy as I thought. And the college students would go away happy that they came and visited the wise counsel of Nate Bebout, right? Obviously. But then there was this one student, and her name was Caitlin, and she came in, and she told me all the things that were going on, and I thought, okay, here we go. Let's do this thing. Let's get out the calendar, and we'll plan it. And she had, it was full. From the moment she woke to the moment she went to bed, she had stuff by half-hour increments. It was full all throughout the week. And so I said, okay, let's do another approach. Other than your academics, this is another thing I would do with students, write down 3 things that you want to be involved in, right? So my kind of thesis was you can only be involved in like 3 other things and still be happy. And so I said, so just write down all the extra commitments. She had 26, right? She was babysitting. She was working. She was student teaching. She was mentoring. She was doing all these other, all good things. But oh my goodness, was her schedule so overwhelmed. It reminded me of this youth group activity, this tried and true youth group activity called Chubby Bunny. You ever heard of Chubby Bunny? It's something that we do with your children when you're not paying attention. And what it is you put a marshmallow in the student's mouth and they say the word chubby bunny. And the idea is you keep adding marshmallows one at a time until they no longer can say chubby bunny in an audible way, right? So you just keep doing it, and their cheeks get full of marshmallow and they're not allowed to chew or eat it. They just got to keep packing it in their mouth and they just keep doing, right? When I was in youth group, we had this student named BJ who was infamous for ruining everything for everyone. You know those kind of people. One time we did a trust fall, right? Trust fall from a tree and you catch, and our youth pastor Taylor was like, okay, it's imperative that when you do the trust fall, you keep your arms down at your side, you fall, and you keeping your arms down is the trust part. We're going to catch you. And so BJ was the 3rd student up. He went down, he fell, and of course he starts going like this, broke the youth pastor's nose. Isn't that nice? That's an idea for if any of you are in youth group with Cameron, just a thought. Okay, so we came up and it's Chubby Bunny and it's BJ's turn and it's like, oh, here we go, right? And so he starts putting him in and putting him in and putting him in and putting him in and because he is who he is, he starts choking, right? And I was like, oh no, what do we do? And I realized, I look at my youth pastor and he was like, let's see how this plays out. I'm like, you're still mad at him for breaking your nose. Get over there and help him. And he did. And BJ's still alive, unfortunately. No. But the interesting thing was, as I was sitting with this student and she was telling me all of these things that she had done, all these things that she felt like she had to add, it was this revelation of like, you're not important, you're unintelligible, right? You've crammed so much into a day that you can't possibly articulate any of the things that you've said yes to because you've so overwhelmed yourself, right? In Mark chapter 6, the context is that the disciples had been sent out in twos to perform healings all throughout Galilee, and they come back to Jesus saying all the things they saw the Spirit do. And people were pressing in on them. People were gathering around them. People were wanting more of the Spirit that they saw demonstrated in these men's ministry. And so Jesus said, let's come away together. Let's rest. You have done amazing things in my name. But now it's time to pause. Now it's time to regroup. It's time to eat and sleep, right? These basic things that we all need. Well, the great irony in this text is that they do get in a boat to go away together. But the townspeople are so excited that they run ahead of them, and there's more waiting for them when they landed than when they left. This is Mark's version. He sets up the story of Jesus feeding 5,000. The crowds had grown so large. They were trying to get away to rest, but they had no rest. As soon as they got on the other side, as soon as their foot touched dry ground again, there was more need, more people gathered around to hear and to see the message of Jesus, which I think is a fascinating church strategy, church growth strategy, right? Let's just leave and see if more people show up when we come back, right? Bigger crowds than ever before. I spent a summer working with the Ohio Department of Transportation. And you know that there are four seasons in Ohio. You've got winter, and you've got spring, and you've got construction, and you've got fall, right? And so we've been in construction season. And as I was working with ODOT, I couldn't help but notice and comment. It seems like the pace that we are going at is what I would call leisurely, right? They weren't in a big hurry to finish projects. There wasn't a rush. And I finally worked up the nerve to ask a supervisor. I said, hey, you know, like, this is, you guys don't seem like you got a lot of pep, like a lot of go get them. Like, we're kind of like, you're making sure that the job is done thoroughly. You know, I appreciate that. But it seems like that we have like this leisurely approach to it. And the supervisor said, you know what, my first year here, I went as hard as I could for an entire year. I thought if we could get on top of this huge list of projects, if we could just go as hard as we could go, that list would finally go away. And then as things came in, one or two, then we could deal with them in a more reasonable pace. And he said, you know what I found out at the end of the year? There's always more. There's always more. There's no such thing as getting rid of the list. The list is always there, always growing. So what we do is we try to do a pace that's actually sustainable for the long haul. And I was like, are you sure you're not just being lazy? Right? Like, that was very... What's it look like for you to do a pace that's sustainable for your whole life? In 2007, there was this famous experiment that happened in a New York subway station. There was this famous violinist named Joshua Bell, one of the most recognized and decorated violinists in the world. He played one of the most difficult pieces in a New York subway station just to see how many people would stop and listen. He played on a $3.5 million violin, right? So here was the scenario. The world's most talented violinist playing the world's most expensive violin, playing the most complicated piece of music. Two nights later, he would perform in a sold-out New York amphitheater for the tickets were $200 a piece, right? So the idea was, for this free concert, how many people would actually stop and listen? And what the experiment revealed was that of the 1,200 people that passed by him in the 30 minutes he was playing, seven stopped to listen. It's too busy. Had too much to do. I had to get to the next thing. So if the first lesson we learned in our study of Scripture is that busyness has nothing to do with time, it has something to do with desire, the second lesson we learn is that the list of things you should do is never ending. Right? Which brings us to Psalm 16. I really love this psalm. When I was reading about this and I was thinking about time this week, I realized that different people have different concepts of time. Some people see themselves moving through time. That's the way I think of time. I'm moving through time, right? Like I can visualize it on a calendar. Today is Sunday, tomorrow will be Monday. I'm moving through it. But I learned that other people have a different understanding of time. They view themselves as still and time flowing past them. And I actually think that's a better way to think of it. Because the reality is, time passes by us, and we have no control over it, right? I think that I like the idea of me moving through time because it feels like maybe I have more control. But you know you don't, right? It's probably a better way to understand it if it's moving past us. I like that. Like our hourglass, right? Like the stuff on the bottom is the stuff that's happened in the past. The stuff on top is the things that have yet to come. And we're in the middle. And time is passing by. Are you enjoying? Are you stepping into? Are you present in this moment? I learned about the Tibetan practice of mandalas this week. These Tibetan monks, I brought some pictures. These Tibetan monks do this kind of art form, and they take these little tubes of iron, and they fill it with colored sand, and they tap out the sand. Can you show a picture of that, please? This is these beautiful, it's all done in sand. It's sand art. They spend weeks on one piece, one circular piece. And then when it's done, at the end of the 7, 8, 9, 10 days it takes them, they sweep it all up and they throw it in a river, right? This beautiful time, this mandala of time, right? There's an author, his name is Dr. David Haskell. He's an ecologist. And this was his assignment for his students. He took a hula hoop. Aha, it's finally applicable. And he took it, and he put it in nature, and he just, like, threw it down somewhere, right? Like, just, like, on the forest floor. And the student's job for the next year was to study what happened inside the hula hoop. It was a mandala of sorts. It was a space marked off that was focused, that we were paying attention to. And the students found all these amazing things. And it was kind of a play on this Ralph Waldo Emerson quote that everything in nature contains all the power of nature. The idea is, if you want to understand the forest, just look in this small circle and you'll understand all the secrets of life. Right? And so to Psalm 16, I really like this image of the Lord giving us boundary lines. Maybe you could think of today as a mandala, right? And that time is passing through, like we're the narrow point on the hourglass. What's happening in this space and in this time? Are you protecting it? Are you enjoying it? Are you present? Or are you worried about the past and the future? Are you in this moment? In the summer of 2002, I was very busy. I believed that I needed to add a lot of things to my schedule to get accepted to a prestigious university like Ashland University, right? And so I was doing all these things. I went on a mission trip to Mexico. I was a part of this weekend retreat called Regional Scholars. I went up to Buckeye Boys State. I was at an Alive Music Festival. I was so busy. I was running around. And I had so much going on. And on July 26th of 2002, my father passed away, right? And now as I look back, I realize that that holy space, that holy time, that mandala that God had given me, I had cluttered it. I had cluttered it with things that I thought were going to make me more significant or important. I had cluttered it by saying yes to things that I probably shouldn't have. And instead of being in the presence of my father, I was running here and there, everywhere, chasing experiences, right? And this is what happened. The time with my dad ran out, right? And all my memories of him from now on are things that used to be instead of things that are happening now. And if I could go back and speak to myself, I would say, Nathan, Nathan, you are worried and anxious about many things, but only one thing is needed. Be with the people you love. Come away with me by yourself to a quiet place and rest in the goodness of this moment. This moment, this day, is your sacred time, right? God wants you to protect your boundary lines. God wants you to make sure that everything that you say yes to is saying yes to him in his presence and his nearness. Don't clutter your life with unimportant things. Don't chase your importance through your activities, because you'll never run out of things you should do. Only one thing is needed. Be in this moment with the people you love, recognizing that the gift we have, the gift that's passing by us, is truly a gift from the Lord. Let's pray. Jesus, creator of all good things, help us to live in this sacred moment. Help us to recognize that all the concerns that we carry and all the things that we run about, at the end of the day, if they're not pursuing you or advancing your kingdom, they're ultimately a waste of time. May we be people who not only steward the things that are coming into our closets, but we also steward the things that are coming into our calendar. May we leave room for you to move. May we have margin to savor the flavors that you are creating all around us. May we find rest in you. We pray this in the strong name of Christ our Lord, and God's people said, amen. I was reminded, well, I wasn't reminded, I heard a story from a former high school teacher of mine recently of a time that we had a school dance in which the DJ didn't come. He was late. He was, I don't know, he was busy. And apparently, I entertained the class that was waiting through just dancing my mad dance skills without any music. And it was interesting because he was telling me this story, and I had zero memory. I had no recollection. Maybe I suppressed it. I don't know. But I had no memory of it. I believed it sounded like something I would do, but I had no memory of it. And it's interesting, I think, how much time we spend in the present moment regretting mistakes we made in the past, and the Lord says, I literally can't remember it. I've forgiven you. I've cast it as far as the east is from the west, right? Your past is made perfect in Christ. And according to Psalm 16, our future is forever flourishing in Christ. So the holy convergence of your perfect past and your flourishing future is this sacred moment. Step into it and allow Christ to show you his goodness. Let's pray. Jesus, enrich our hearts by your nearness and remind us few things are needed and actually only one. to rest in your promises and to live out of that faithfulness in view of all others. Go with us this day as we steward the time that you've given us. What a precious gift. May every breath bring you glory. May every breath be a thank you and an amen. And God's people said, amen. Go in peace.